Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everybody. Hey, if you would, follow my lead on this. Look at there. No ringy-ringy during the worship. No ringy-ringy during the worship. So welcome, everybody, to our services here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, where we're all seeking to follow God and worship Him according to His holy word, and to spread His love to those maybe that are in some darkness. So thank you for your attention. We've got several announcements there. You can see on our prayer list, continue to, you know, Mike's here today. Mike Porter's here, so his burns are doing considerably better, but his blood pressure is giving him all kinds of fits, so he's got to have a echocardiogram. Is that right, Mike? Echocardiogram on June 30th, so we're going to pray for that. Naomi and Dustin are here with us today. They've had lots of challenges, as that whole family has a lot of challenges, but we're thankful that they're here with us today. Thankful to have Roe with us today. Ken and Sandy over here with us. Hi, guys. Great to see y'all. So, as James Miller often says, you know, we've got a lot of folks that are on our prayer list, a lot of folks that, if you just look around, you know, they've got reasons they couldn't be here, you know, probably, but they're here, and they struggle, and they are an inspiration, those that struggle to be here, but yet they place importance of being here, so we're very thankful for them. Tamethia is still having some trouble with her stomach, so we want to pray for her continued to recovery on that. She was here somewhere.
She's sitting in the back all the way.
Okay, okay. All right, that's fine. Let's see, had some folks lose some loved ones here. Deborah Poe lost her aunt last week, I think it was last week now. James Miller lost his cousin's husband. His cousin lost her husband. So we've got some shut-ins there that we want to continue to remember. Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, my mother, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, and Jack and Millie Keene. Got some birthdays and anniversaries. Okay, got an anniversary. The Millers have their anniversary on the 12th. Don's birthday is on the 14th, and James Miller's on the 27th. His birthday is on 27th. Let's see here. Some other things. We got Brent gave me this note. So I think it was last week or maybe the week before. We're planning an Ark Encounter trip. That's the replica of the Ark there in some little town in Kentucky. I can't remember what it's called, but some little town in Kentucky. And so there were some forms that were passed out. If you want to be a part of that trip, you need to complete that form and turn that in today. And let's see what else there is here for that. Yep, that's what he's got here. Ark Encounter. Last day to turn in forms. They're on the table by the entry doors under cards to sign. Brent will get with everyone who turned in a form by next Sunday with final details. Brent has a torn tendon, and he has an appointment with an ortho on Wednesday to see how to move forward with his torn patella tendon, which connects the knee to the shin. Surgery is low per family doctor, but it's not getting any better, so we will see what the ortho says. So we'll want to pray for Brent that doesn't require surgery, but if it does, that it's successful. James Miller has a request here for some men to help move the extra desks that are not needed sometime this week. So we've got some extra desks that need moved, so if anybody can stick around and help with that or schedule. Oh, James McMillan. Hey, I need to get stronger glasses. Yeah, James McMillan. Okay. Well, I just volunteered James Miller to help you, I guess. Okay, I want to remind everybody, hey, does anybody, who knows what this is? Who doesn't know what it is? Who has, raise your hand if you have a neighbor. You guys don't have neighbors? Okay, keep them up. Raise your hand if you have a neighbor. Do you have a neighbor? Raise your hand if you have a neighbor. For those of you who work, put your hands down. For those of you who go to work, Do you have a coworker? Raise your hand if you have a coworker. Okay. Thank you. Raise your hand if you are a student and you have fellow students. You're not a class of one. All right. Okay, we're doing good so far. I think I got everybody raise their hand at least once so far. Raise your hand if you have known someone this year, this whole year, all the way back to January 1. Raise your hand if you know someone who's been sick this year. Do you have someone that you know that's been sick this year? Okay. Raise your hand if you know someone who's had a loved one pass away. Okay. Raise your hand if you know someone this year that's been in the hospital. Raise your hand if you know someone that's been in the nursing home or is in the nursing home. Okay. What I've just did is give you an exercise of people that you know that could go on this contact card. Maybe not right now, maybe the moment's passed, but there's somebody that's been in your life this year that you should have put their contact information for us to pray for them about the situation. For us to try to have a moment to try to evangelize to them. We've had some success with that. So those are all people. If you've turned in one of these, good. Thank you. You can do it again. That's the thing. My guy that hired me initially, he said, "You just start selling insurance policies, Dave, and I'll tell you when to stop." Well, he retired. I've had two more bosses since then, and none of them have told me to stop. So it's okay to keep turning in contact cards. Keep your eyes open. Keep your hearts open. Keep your ears open. There's somebody in your life that we could encourage. There's somebody in your life that we could invite for a Bible study. We're not going to beat them down. We're going to be very open. Hey, we're going to be very easily approachable, and we're not going to put people off. Don't be afraid to put someone that you know on one of these cards. And you need to do it. If you don't, I don't want to be standing in front of someone that's behind me on the day of judgment and say, "Well, I know Dave and he never mentioned him to me." That'd be a tough day, wouldn't it? That'd be a tough day. Even if I get in, it'd be hard to not feel guilty about that. So let's keep doing this kind of activity. Let's work together and let's accomplish some things for God. That's all I have by way of announcements. I think everybody's here for the order of worship, so I won't go through that. But thank you all for being here, and let's join together in the work of God, okay?
Go to our God in prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning to give thanks for the blessings that you bestowed upon us. We ask that you strengthen us as Christians. And Heavenly Father, we hope that you bless our efforts and strengthen us that we may find more souls to bring to God. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I want to welcome everybody again, and good morning to everybody, and again in our radio listening audience, good morning to you. Our first song this morning will be, well, I guess our first song in this part of the service will be number 637, and that'll be The Last Mile of the Way, number 637.
If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I walk till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way.
Our next song will be number 249. 249. And the name of that song is How Precious Is the Book Divine. 249.
How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp its precious shine, to guide my soul.
Song would be number 274, and then after this song, Brother Don DeMario is going to lead our minds in prayer. Let me double check that. Don DeMario, number 274. And the name of the song is I Have a Friend, I Have Found a Friend in Jesus, number 274.
I have found a friend in Jesus.
He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, again we come to you so thankful for the opportunity to meet here this morning. We're thankful for our health and our families. We're thankful for the many, many blessings that you share with us. Father, we have some of our number that are not feeling their best. I pray that you will touch them and help them to heal if it be your will. be with those in the congregation that are here on, and struggling at times. But there are others that are out there that cannot make it from day to day. Please, please be with them and touch them. Father, we are in the process of still trying to select elders for our congregation. I pray that the men that are qualified and willing will step forward, and that we will soon have the leadership in this church that we need to have. Father, help them to make the choices that that will help our congregation here. Father, be with Doug today as he brings us the lesson. Help him to remember all the things that he studied. Help him to give us the guidance that we need, and help us to use those things to bring people to your church. Father, look over us, protect us, and be with us the rest of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In a minute or two, it'll be time to take of the Lord's Supper, and then after the Lord's Supper, we'll have our scripture reading. The song that I've selected to prepare our minds before we take of the Lord's Supper is number 784, Why Did My Savior Come to Earth? Then after this song, we'll take of the Lord's Supper. Number 784, Why Did My Savior Come to Earth?
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved.
Picture in your minds the scene described by Matthew in chapter 27. Pilate had been told by his wife, to have nothing to do with Jesus, that he was an innocent man, and Pilate was the leader of the government. He had the authority to release Jesus. And rather than do that, what he did is he stood in front of the crowd, and he had a basin of water, and he washed his hands there in their presence, and he said, in a ceremonial way, and he said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. And all the crowd, with one voice, called out, his blood be upon us and upon our children. What they were acknowledging in that moment is their willingness to accept the guilt, the blame for the crucifixion of the Lord of mankind. shameful that they sit. But we too want to make that exact same proclamation today. Not that we want the guilt, but we want the freedom from our guilt that that blood sacrifice offers to us. So we say, those of us who are part of this blood-bought church, his blood be upon us and upon our children. That blood cleanses us and makes us whole. We who are sin-stained and have no right to eternity with God except through that gift of Christ. Let's partake of these emblems in remembrance of that great and wonderful gift of Jesus. Holy God, it's with great thankfulness, Father, that we bow in your presence. We're thankful, Father, for atonement that was delivered to us through the giving of Jesus. Had he not died on the cross on that day, Father, we would have been doomed to eternity separated from you with no chance of redemption. No freedom, Father, for the return to a life where we can spend it forevermore with you. But we have that, Father. Those of us who have obeyed your gospel, we have that relationship of assurance, Father, that this abused body of Jesus was all done, a faith that was willingly accepted by our Lord, and it brought atonement to us, it brought salvation to us, it brought hope of eternity for us. And we who are your children, we look forward to that day when we can hear you tell us, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. We can hear that, Father, if we are your children. So we thank you, Father, for this gift that we acknowledge every first day of the week when we partake of these emblems. We see in this bread, Father, the abused, spitefully used, shamed body of Christ Jesus. And it's such a glorious thing for us to see, Father. Bless your church now and always as we partake of these emblems. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, Father in heaven, for this cup, which represents Jesus Christ's blood, which you shed on that cross to forgive us all of our sins, Lord. Lord God, we all thank you for sending Jesus Christ down and down that horrible death for us, so that we may get to heaven with him one day, Lord. Lord God, we thank you for that. We thank you for allowing us all to be here today to partake of this cup. And please bless this cup and those who partake of it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Our observance of the Lord's Supper is completed. We see another commandment given to the church in the first century. It was described to the churches of Galatia and those of Corinth also, that they were to give as they prospered. And so that commandment follows for us today who are in the Lord's church to do similarly. Would you bow with me? Merciful God, our Creator and our Father, all of your blessings, Father, are great and wonderful, and we receive your blessings. We hope with the right attitude, Father. We want to show the proper appreciation for them. We want to use them, Father, for your glory and honor. We know, Father, that starts with the giving our hearts to you. And if our hearts are truly yours, Father, then everything that we have in life we'll recognize was delivered mercifully by you. And that we'll want to return them to you as we're able. Father, we want to give our time to you. We want to give our talents to you for your service. And Father, we want to give to you of our financial means, just as the first century church Christians did. Father, bless this congregation as we give. Help us to be humble in our giving. Help us to do it so that your word can prosper here in our community and in our world. Father, help us to give freely and not begrudgingly. Bless us now as we give, and we pray that the gift that we give, Father, is fruitful in your service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. morning. Scripture reading in the Pew Bibles on page 1023, 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, verses 33 and 34. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
If you would please mark number 653 in your songbook. This will be the song of invitation, the song of encouragement after Brother Doug's lesson. Number 653, The Way of the Cross. Mark that, please. And then after you mark that, the song before the lesson will be number 315, I'll Live in Glory. And then we'll turn the services over to Brother Doug. Number 315.
I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by.
You know, in life there are many different kinds of habits, good habits, bad habits. Today we're going to, of course, want to talk about good habits, but I want to talk about habits as I begin this morning, just maybe kind of give you a thought about where I'm, what I'm thinking about. You know, See the word works. It's important for us to recognize what he's talking about here is that he's talking about obedience to God, doing what God wants us to do. James chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Verse 18, but someone will say to you, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So what he's telling them here, James is talking to them about, is that we cannot have faith if we do not obey God, if we're not obedient to him, if we're not doing what God says to do. Not works like a chore that we have to do, not works like obeying the law, but works like doing everything that we do in obedience to God and following after him. He says, you know, I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you my faith by how I obey God. You do well, though. Even the demons believe. You see, there's a difference here. There's a difference between faith in this context, between faith and belief. Because if you just, the demons, they did not have faith in God because they weren't doing what God wanted them to do. Therefore, what we need to do is recognize that if we want to have faith in God, faith in what he's calling us to do, faith in what he's calling us to be, we need to follow through with obedience, obedient working of God. He goes on in verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You see, if we don't follow through with our habits of life, we don't follow through with our obedience to God, that's what we're talking about. Our obedience to God is the work of God. It is the habit that God wants us to fulfill. But he says if we don't have, we're not following up with just saying, like, I'm just going to be here. I'm going to, someone will say, well, I believe that God is real, but you don't do anything to follow up and show that God is real, then you're not walking with God. In verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Now, if you're not familiar with this story and passage, God told, when Isaac was about 12 years old, God told Abraham that he should take him and take him up onto the mountain and sacrifice him on an altar to God. And if Abraham just would have said, sure, God, I'll do that. But he had taken Isaac out to the field and they had a picnic and they came back home again, that would not be obeying God. And so he determined that he would take him up there and sacrifice him. In verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works? By his works, faith was made perfect. So Abraham took him up. Isaac asked him, where is the sacrifice? He said, God will provide. And they had him carry the bundle of wood and they built an altar and put it on the altar. And then God did provide just before he killed his son. Because Abraham was showing his faith by what he did. We need to show God our faith by what we do and our obedience to him. Not works that to say, oh, I have to do this or whatever, and I got a law that I have to obey. No, God is saying, if we want to obey him, if we want to love him, and we say we have faith in him, then we do what God is calling us to do. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it accounted for him, to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, when he believed God, he did what God said, not like the demons did, but he believed what God said, and he did, and God said, you are right with me. Now, you're righteous. And he called him the friend of God. Do you want to be a friend of God?
Yes.
Then we need to do what God calls us to do and God calls us to be. Becoming a Christian means, therefore, starting new lifestyles, new habits of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. He's saying that we knew Christ as a human being. But he's more than that. Christ is our Messiah. He is our Lord and Savior. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For us to have salvation, for us to know that God is real, then we must do what God says. Because you see, if we're in Christ, then we will be new creation. Then we will be new and walking with God. But if we're on the outside of Christ, looking in, then we will not have that new creation. If we haven't done what God has called us to do, to walk with Him and to live with Him, so that we can be made new. Like it says, all things have become new when we're new in Christ. It changes everything for us. It helps us have a different perspective, a different focus of life, because we have decided to do this. It's when we are baptized into Christ, it's the beginning point of our new life. And we start our new life, and we form the habits that are right with God and pleasing to Him. A long time ago, I was about 12 years old. My parents had been attending the Church of Christ for about 6 years. I had been a Christian for about 3 years. And we moved out to an Indian reservation about 60 miles away from the town where we were at. I think I've told some of you this story before. But the thing was, is that it was 60 miles away from where the church worshiped. And so we would worship together as a family on, always had a Bible study on Wednesday night. And we all, because we had been going to church services Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It was our plan, our purpose, our design to do that. That's what we do. We knew was right to do, to be with the church as much as we possibly could. But when we got out in the country, out by ourselves, we thought, what are we going to do now? I don't know if those exact were thoughts or the exact words like that. I was 12, okay? But my mom and dad decided, and I know I was a part of that decision, that every weekend, we would leave early in the morning, drive back to Pierre, that 60 miles, worship with the church on Sunday morning. We had some family in Pierre, so we usually spent time with the family. And then on Sunday night, we'd worship again, and then we'd go back home again. And then if we couldn't go, for example, if there was a storm or something came up like that, that we couldn't travel back, we worshiped on Sunday morning and Sunday night in our home. The three of us, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I also. And so you see, we were the church at home. We were the church when we were with the church in Pierre, and we did these things because they became a part of us, right? Because we had been made new. We had become new to what God had called us to be. Therefore, we need to create that new lifestyle in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10 is our next text. In verses 2 through 5, we see what they were taught, and what they became. You see, it's not a matter of just being taught. If we're just taught and we don't do it, it's like my dad would say, in one ear and out the other. We didn't do anything about it. We didn't change, right? We need to do what God calls us to do, what God calls us to be, and become what He's in Him in all things. In verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Well, first of all, we see here, of course, He always gives thanks for them, always praying for them, but remembering without ceasing. See, what was Paul doing? He was not only remembering them, but he was praying for them. He was doing something about his remembrance. Not ceasing your work. He says, you're not ceasing your work of love. So what? Then what were they doing? They didn't stop loving people. That was their work of love. They didn't work of faith. And then their labor of love, that it was all a part of what they were called to do, what they were being, doing, and done, having been done. And even patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Does patience take work? I know that it does. I know that you know that it does. To be patient, raising children takes patience, right? It takes patience in doing that. It takes patience in trying to fulfill all that God calls us to do. And it's in the sight of our God and Father. Who knows what we're doing? Always. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, they know our lives. They know what we're doing. Beloved brethren, your election of God is sure. I want my election, our election of God, to be sure. And we do that by what we do and how we live. Verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know that what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You see, Paul again said it didn't just come by what I said, but it came by how God worked through us in what we were doing. The power and the Holy Spirit, much assurance in God. You see, when we follow through with God and stay with God all the time and forming those lifestyles, those habits of life, then we know what kind of people we should be, and knowing what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You see, we have to be the right kind of people so that what? Others can learn to be the right kind of people. Verse 6 talks about becoming imitators. And you became followers of us as of the Lord, and having received the word in much affliction with joy and of the Holy Spirit. Some translations say you have become imitators of us as we imitated him. You see, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Paul, how did Paul learn to be the man of God that he wanted to be? He followed Christ. He looked to Christ and he said, now I have done that, so you follow me. Not that Paul is saying, I'm so good, but he says, I want you to see the Lord through me. I want you to see it that way so that you know who this is that we're talking about today. In verse 7, he says that we should become examples, so that you become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So they were forming, Paul was forming a habit in them to do the same kind of thing. Because when he says, you went out to all of Macedonia, right, and to all of Achaia, what did you do? You were examples. He says, just like I was an example to you, just like Christ was an example to me. You were examples to them that they should live and do and be what God wanted them to be. So therefore, brothers and sisters, this is what we need to be. We need to set these kind of examples, these kind of habits of life, so others can learn to do the same thing also. Then in verses 8 through 10, he says, your faith has gone forth out into the world. It's gone out into the world so that everybody can know. Verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that you do not need to say anything. The Lord has sounded forth from you. What was Paul doing? He was coming to them and teaching them, right? He was preaching to them. He was showing them Jesus Christ. And then he says, you're following my example, right? But he says, you're not doing it just in Macedonia and Achaia, but you're doing it wherever you go. Wherever you go. And so they had learned the process of becoming a habit. In Timothy, it says that you teach others so that they could teach others also. That's exactly what was happening here. That they were doing this. They were sounding forth the gospel. Your faith toward God has gone out. What a marvelous thing, right? That we have set a habit of life, that we set the example for others so that the word of God can go forth out into the world. Paul says, I don't need to say anything else. You're living it. You're doing the right thing. You're going the right direction and living for God. Because the message has gone out from you into all the world. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. But he said that's what we're to do, is to go out into all the world. And that's what they were doing. They didn't live in Macedonia and Achaia, but their faith was an example broadly spreading out to wherever they went. Then verses 9 and 10, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And they themselves declare, he says, for they themselves declare concerning the manner of entry to you. I want you to know that I hear about this, and how you turned to God. He says, you turn to God, right? From idols to serve the living and true God. What did they proclaim to the world? We've turned to God from idols. We've turned to God, a true and living God, not something that's made with hands. And He says, and now you wait for heaven, wait for Jesus to go to heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, delivers you from the wrath to come. See, they not only carried the good news of Jesus Christ, but they carried the warning of the wrath to come if people did not turn to God. They heard that message, they heard the good news, and they heard the warning. Don't stay away from God, because if you stay away from God and don't walk with him, set your habits on him, your way of life on him, then that's not going to be good about, not going to be good for you, not going to be good for anybody. You'll have to face the wrath to come. And we don't want to face the wrath to come. No one does, if we know anything about it. But we do want to be with the Son in heaven. And that's what God wants for us too. That's why we plan this way to live and to plan to walk with him. You see, therefore we must, and the Bible says this, we must create new habits to be effective for Christ in the world today. We must. The Bible uses this word must a lot. It's not something that we have an option to. If we want to be right with God forever, if we want to be pleasing to God, then we must set up those habits and set our plan to be his. You know, over the next, 3 weeks in June and then the fourth week in July, we're going to be looking at four habits for successful living in Christ. And there might be more, just to warn you. This has kind of been kind of on my mind lately. But this is the plan so that we can focus in on different ways and how we can have the right kind of habits for God. So are you ready? Are you ready to grow your faith and to become more like what God wants you to be? You say, well, I've arrived. Have you? Paul says, I have not yet arrived, but I press on toward the upward call of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm still working on it. I'm going to still grow. See, growth is not easy. You know, growth is not an easy thing. It's easier just to stay where we're at, to stay, if you will, and become complacent. But God wants you to challenge yourself, challenge ourselves, so that we can grow and become more what God wants us to be. Creating habits takes effort. They say that it takes 39 days, 60 days, 90 days. Depends on what kind of habit it is, of doing it over and over and over again till it becomes a way of life, the way of thinking. And we want to create good habits. We want to create faith habits for God. So therefore, we need to become one with God in faith. God is willing to help us. He is our strength. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So won't you come to him today? Won't you come to Christ today? As together we stand and sing.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get inside of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. Cross me.
changed also, and I know that James has some more songs for us as well. So, Demetria, are you ready? Okay, let's go on over here.
Number 824, off live.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, fly away, fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Victory. While we walk the
student number 495. 495. Oh, the depths and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid in his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing down the sinful and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary.
We're rejoicing today with Tamethia and her becoming a child of God. One of the things I've asked Tamethia to do is just make a simple statement about her faith in Jesus Christ.
I believe God died for our sins.
You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Okay. Because of your confession, I'm now going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Just wait. Okay, take care of this. Take care of this one hand. Like a little bit like this, okay? Come a little bit more so I don't bump your head, okay? I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. You good?
Can't get a little bit more.
Okay. Go ahead. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
Amen.
Number 421, love lifted me. 421.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now say, am I? Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me,
Zion's call. Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above. While the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we
this is your family of God, okay? And we want you to know that you are now in the family of God, that God has added you to his church. The Bible says that when we're baptized into Christ, God adds us to his church. And family, I want you to have a chance to know that this is your sister now, Tamethia, and she is going to be very grateful and needs your help and needs your strength. Each one of us, that's what we do as family, right? So let's join hands and have a prayer. You just hang out here. That's okay. And James, if you'd lead us in a prayer, please.
No.
What?
No.
Yes, James, you're right next to me, so I know there's lots of James. Go ahead, James.
Righteous God, our Creator and our Father, we're so very thankful, Father, that this morning to recognize our sister, Tamethia, for her faith and her willingness to come to you and to show repentance and to confess that wonderful name of Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Father, we know that our Lord himself added her to his church. And we know, Father, that no man, no woman can take her out of that church. Father, that what what Christ has established in her. Only she can forfeit herself, and we pray that we'll give her the strength and the courage so that she'll never do that, that she'll remain strong, that she'll grow, and that she'll seek to work, labor faithfully, Father, in your kingdom, Father, to bring new souls to you. We're just so blessed, Father, by the faith that she showed, by her commitment, and we want to lift her soul up to you. We want, Father, for you to be with her and to guide her and protect her and to just commit to supporting her ourselves. Father, bless her and bless this church. It's our commitment, Father, to this program that we believe is going to continue to see success. Father, we know that if we're faithful in it, that you're going to bring the increase. That we're planters and we're waterers, and we know, Father, that if we do that faithfully, that your church will grow here in our community and we'll be rewarded in eternity for it. Bless our sister, bless our congregations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So as you have a chance this morning, come up and say, give your love and greeting to her as she hangs on to her towel this morning. And just thankful. But if I could meet with the men for just a minute, okay, afterwards. But go ahead and greet your new sister and greet her first.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You might be in the back of the line.
That's okay.
This is the wrong sheet.
That's right. If only she turned this way.